Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
I'm Michelle Martin. We are crossing over live to Australia, where my guest today is standing by. He's Michael Berman, CEO and founder of Syquation. That's an AI-driven analytics platform that provides traders with actionable insights to improve their trading and to discover trading strategies that work. He always helps us out when it comes to figuring out the market narratives. So I've been hearing a lot about a popular notion of a blue wave sweeping through America for this election year and how that could be a signal of sweeping economic and policy changes ahead. I wanted to get your view, Michael. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Michelle. Nice to speak to you again.
Terrific talking to you. So everybody that I'm speaking with, on this show has said that they're looking at the polls and heartened by that lead from Biden. What do you think? Who's ahead now in your books?
This is really interesting. So it's the talk of town. I guess it's been the talk of town for some time, but we're really getting close now. So I'll just take you back to 2016. So I was quite vocal saying that I thought Trump was going to get in, and we would go out for dinner and with friends, and after a while I kept getting into fights with people because no one could have a civil conversation. So my wife banned me from talking about politics. Well, she said you cannot mention the T word Trump if we go out. So it was
the woes of being a Cassandra, huh? It's tough.
Yeah. So we all know how divisive this character is.
Yes, and, yes.
And what I'd just like to say in response to that intro or that question is that I don't think you can trust any of the polls, to be frank. There was a concept that I learned when Trump came in. I was really confused how the polls could get it so wrong. And there's a term called preference falsification. And there's a professor, Timur Kuran, who's like the guy behind it. And really all it's saying is that people, when they answer these polls, are so scared that they could be seen to favor a guy who's so divisive, is that they lie or they answer it in a way that they think will make them look good and avoid conflict. Because, we all don't like conflict. So, and I was reminded about how divisive the character is last night around the dinner table. I made the fateful mistake of mentioning Trump. Now, I know he's a flawed man. I think he's a monster psychologically and all those kind of things. But I'm saying even mentioning his name and saying one or two interesting things that he's done got my daughter, who's left-leaning, she absolutely threw her toys out the cot, and we couldn't have a civil conversation. So I don't think we know really until we see the ballots, or until the polls come out, uh-huh. And at the polls, the election results. So I personally actually think that he's got a reasonable chance of, I don't think it's a Biden landslide by any means, but mm-hmm. The one thing that's concerning me at the moment is I just see that the U.S. had 91,500 coronavirus new cases today, so that's a record, and things are pretty out of control there. So if fear takes over the public, it's clear Biden is preaching that he'll look after everyone, and Trump saying you just got to get on with it. So we will really see what people are thinking on this shortly. I don't think it's as close as I don't think it's a landslide like blue. That's my take.
You don't think that Biden has a solid poll? I wanted to just go back to 2016 when you made that call that proved to be highly prescient that Trump would win when the polls said exactly the opposite. What were you basing that on?
I had a sense that people were sick and tired of political correctness, and there was gridlock in politics. No one was moving forward at anything. So it almost was this character was served up to like the subconscious mind of the public time. That is the character. Like it was an archetypal force. I think it could have been any other bombastic character, but it happened to be Trump.
Fascinating read. Absolutely fascinating. Now, I'm not sure we've covered this with you. I'm constantly trying to figure out how we can best position ourselves and our portfolios in the wake of the election, no matter what the result is. And there are headlines saying that whether Trump or Biden wins, infrastructure is going to be a safe bet. So green energy, infrastructure, medical equipment makers, consumer discretionary, staple companies, these are thought to benefit from a Biden win. And then conversely for U.S. President Donald Trump, if he gets a second term, people are assuming that oil and gas counters are going to do well, U.S. banks, U.S. tech firms. But what do you think about infrastructure? Is that a happy middle ground that is likely to do well in spite of a Biden or a Trump win?
Yeah, I think so. My read on the situation is that central banks have pretty much done as much as they can. Not to say they won't do a little bit more, but the heavy lifting now is over to government, and governments are going to have to spend, and the best way to spend is on infrastructure projects. And I would think it's a safe bet that there'll be a lot of stimulus put into the various economies around the world, obviously the US in particular. But what's interesting is that if you look at the ETFs on infrastructure, they're still down year to date. So they lag in quite significantly other sectors. And, you know, I would have thought, like you just said, as a narrative, that that's an area that should be a beneficiary going forward. So, yeah, I think it's actually quite attractive to put money into that kind of sector because they're not as expensive as tech, which is way above. So, yeah, I'm inclined to think that infrastructure and even, believe it or not, REITs, real estate investment trusts, property has taken a hammer in. And I think there is some fair value. I'm starting to see some fair value in those counters as well. So it's pretty much going against the trend, but yeah.
Great insight. And is that based on the prospect of big fiscal stimulus coming soon?
Yeah. There will be big fiscal stimulus. I think even if there are major... Look, there should be a lot of bankruptcies, but the governments are doing everything in their power to try and kick this can down the track. And I guess if there's inflation, these infrastructure projects will do well. Hard assets and in inflationary times, these will be good.
All right. Just a quick mention here. You know, there are some that I'm speaking to who assume that if Biden wins, so do Chinese tech stocks, because Biden is less likely to take a unilateral approach to China that we've seen Trump take. What is your view on Chinese tech stocks in the wake of the elections?
It's an interesting question. I'm not sure I've got a really strong answer. What I can offer is that the big tech companies have become incredibly powerful. And I think everyone, government in particular, is really scared about the monopolies that are developing with these tech companies. As to Chinese tech, from a U.S. perspective, yeah, I think if Trump's in, he'll do his best to lessen their power. I think Biden will definitely be more neutral and accommodating. So I don't know if I'm answering the question as you like, but I just think, I'll stick with what I just said there. I don't have a strong view.
All right. Do you have a view at all about the possibility of civil unrest? I'm just going to throw this nugget in because I saw that gun sales in the U.S. are up. A poll that I know you don't like polls, but a poll says 3 out of 4 buyers are worried about civil unrest, and gun sales are up in the U.S. for the 7th straight month of growth of more than 50%. So what do you think?
Yeah, this to me is the biggest fear factor that I'm worried about. And I can see it and I can feel it. Based on my read of the situation, I think it's a powder keg. Anything could trigger this. And, I watched The Social Dilemma. I don't know if you've seen the movie.
Oh, yeah, it's great, yeah. On Netflix, and, right? The documentary.
Yes, correct. And you know, that was one of the things that these leaders in the field were saying, that they see this kind of social unrest, civil unrest coming from this. And where I see it manifesting mostly is with the inequality of the way money is being spent. So we spoke about fiscal government spending money, but it seems as if the rich are just getting richer. If I look around, the people I know, that like the exceptionally wealthy people, they seem to be getting far wealthier. And you know, the average Joe or Jane is struggling. And we've also been masked. A lot of the struggle has been masked because there've been all these fiscal stimulus checks coming from government, kind of masking the fact that there's this massive unemployment. So the poor are going to get poorer. The rich are going to get richer. The injustice of that all is really going to hurt. You're going to have these tech giants who are becoming more and more monopolistic, controlling the way people think. I think this is all heading. I mean, I'm sounding like a real alarmist, yeah. But I think there is every possibility that we could see massive social unrest.
Yeah, I feel that too. I want to ask you about that point you raised on. Growing inequality, where the role of access to digital currencies comes in. So the story is, you know, a couple of years back, just 3 years ago, Jamie Dimon, JP Morgan Chase boss, famously bashed Bitcoin as a fraud, said he couldn't care less about it. It was something global governments would crush. And then less, 3 years later, we see that JP Morgan has plunged headfirst into the crypto space. The bank is launching its very own digital coin that runs on what seems to be the very antithesis of what digital coin and Bitcoin was all about, and that being permissionless blockchain system. So this JP Morgan coin runs on a permission system, and it's meant to, I suppose, help with cross-border payments, since JP Morgan moves some $6 trillion of payments every day. So this JPM coin, what is the use case for it, since it's pegged to the dollar?
Yeah, this is an interesting subject, and I've become quite more and more intrigued by the whole crypto digital currency world. But I can tell you, you should see the JP Morgan coin as nothing more than a transmission, a payment mechanism. This is where I'm seeing it. It's using technology, blockchain technology, to improve payments. I'll give you a classic example. Just today, the end of the month, and so I was paying my staff. Now I've got a development team of 25 people who sit in the Ukraine. I'm here in Australia, so I needed to make a payment. It goes through this whole convoluted SWIFT payment system, and you've got to get it in before a certain hour in the day, and then they may get it tomorrow, and then it goes through a correspondent bank, and it's a very archaic system. With the JP Morgan coin, just like, I guess, Bitcoin, you're effectively sending it, I'm oversimplifying it, but you're sending it from one wallet to the next using this decentralized blockchain technology. So you're going to see more and more of this. I see. This is my belief. You're going to see a lot. You're going to see governments using digital currencies more. And it's nothing more, in my opinion, than using technology to increase the efficiency of payments. So, and the movement of money around in circulation in the economy. But what I see as really interesting is this. We've seen this big move in Bitcoin over the last month.
Yes.
And Bitcoin, actually, if you look at it year to date, has absolutely smashed anything in comparison. There's nothing. I think it's up 88% year to date versus the Nasdaq, which is up around 30-odd%. So, and gold's around 20-odd percent. So, Bitcoin, what I think is driving this huge demand for Bitcoin or cryptocurrency. Let's stick with Bitcoin because it's it's the big one. Is that people are sick and tired of government. We hear about a $3 trillion fiscal stimulus. So basically, governments and central banks are just printing money at will. There's no one really being responsible about what will the impact. They're making it up as they go. No one really knows what's going to happen with all this quantitative easing and what will the long-term effects be. So people feel, well, I don't want to hold a currency that's just going to devalue over time because the government's just going to print more and more money. So I'd rather hold a store of value that has got, you know, finite supply. So then you could put your money in gold, which is a much more, it's a 1,000-year-old store of value for money. We know about it. And then you've got this new kid on the block called Bitcoin. And it's interesting because it's got a limited supply. It's got all this functionality that you can move money around. So it's gaining a lot of traction. But if I can just add to the story, it's interesting how there's a paradox developing within this, is that because it's kind of unregulated and enjoying all this growth, you're now seeing the regulators fight back. And if you look at BitMEX, which is one of the largest derivative cryptocurrency exchanges, the directors have been arrested.
Yep.
You've got OKX, which is a massive exchange, I think one of the largest. Also, they have arrested some of the owners. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, that put a block on withdrawing money out of them. And now, just in conclusion, there's a new one. Well, there's a new story brewing with Binance, which is like also one of the big daddies in the industry. And it turns out that there's been a whole fraudulent scheme to get around getting U.S.
Getting around regulations, right?
Yes, yes. So the regulators are fighting back, and I'm thinking out aloud here that we've got a huge demand for this kind of thing. Even PayPal has now just adopted, which is massive.
Yes.
PayPal is now accepting Bitcoin. But I think for this industry to really succeed, there's going to have to be some regulation. The question is, does it then defeat the whole purpose of people have been attracted to it because it's kind of unregulated, and now if it becomes regulated, will it lose its shine? Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Great analysis there. So one Bitcoin currently $13,556 US dollars.
Yeah.
Bitcoin just 9 days ago overtook that $13,000 mark, seen as a key resistance level. So you see PayPal enabling cryptocurrency purchases as a major step forward here, as in, you know, we're seeing more institutions come in. And maybe as more institutions come in, this will see it being brought into the regulatory flow. Fold, do you think?
Yeah, I think it has to. It's just fascinating. But in my opinion, PayPal has made it, I don't want to call it mainstream because it's certainly not mainstream, but we are moving past the early adopter phase now, and we've seen people who wouldn't necessarily be the most tech savvy who are now actually saying, you know what, I think this is here to stay and I'd like to have some Bitcoin. Mm. But I must just give you one quick anecdote,
yeah,
which kind of tells you how difficult the space still is. So I was, names will remain, I won't mention names, but I was talking yesterday with a leading player in the crypto world. And he was just telling me how he's had more than 30 odd accounts, banking accounts, shut down from, because, you know, if the banks with any smell of that you, that there's crypto involved in your underlying business, this is a big business, they keep shutting them down. And I try to put him in touch with a company that has all the regulatory licenses to, you kind of make them more legit. And the guy said, Michael, won't touch them. I'll lose all my banking. If I'm associated with anything crypto, I will lose my banking infrastructure. So there needs to be some progress made on the regulatory front before it can come more mainstream.
To solve that trust issue, so to speak. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, always great to speak with you, Michael. We'll check in with you after the elections. I have your predictions on file. So.
We'll talk then. Lovely.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Bye. Michael Berman is CEO and founder of Psyquation. They provide traders with actionable insights to improve their trading. Have a great day, Michael.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg.
or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.